But why do we do it? It's a good question to ask yourself. And it's a question with which Rav Volba opens his handbook to being Yeshiva Bachur. We're going to spend some time over the next couple of weeks, months perhaps, in Mori Machshava, learning together and enjoying together the opening chapters of Sefer Ali Shur. Rav Volba is one of the master mashgichim to many yeshivas in Yerushalayim over the course of the 20th century. And he wrote, Ali Shur is a two-volume guidebook. The second volume is Entering the World of Musar, sort of a more specific, specialized work. And the first volume, which we're going to open right now, first volume, Ali Shur, is Entering the World of Yeshiva. Sort of a guidebook, as you see on the cover page you have in front of you. V'hadrichas ben doreinu b'chnisasa l'soch olam ha-toru v'shulvei aliyasa. A guide into entering the world of yeshivas and different stages of one's development, and different stages of one's spiritual progress. Very, very attractive sefer, a very, very practical sefer. He speaks our language, and he speaks to our concerns. And we're really going to focus on not only volume one, but the Shaar Aleph. The first shahr, or the first section of volume one, where he really, one paragraph after another, surveys a whole host of really critical topics. And he covers a broad range, and hopefully we'll find it satisfying, and we'll find it the horizon broadening. He opens by talking about learning Gemara. He opens with an epigram from Medrash Antilim. Luli Sarasra Shashue Ozavadati Ba'anyi, that's from Tehillim Kuf Yutes. You know, of course, that Kuf Yutes is Parak 119, is the enormous Parak, 176 psukim, as 8 psukim for each letter of the alphabet. So this is in the Lamed's. Ulu Sarascha Shashui. Pasuk was made famous by Shlomo Karbach, but it obviously predates Shlomo Karbach by a couple of millennia. David HaMelech says, and Kuf Yutes is, much of Parak Kuf Yutes is about Talmud Torah. You'd actually be surprised how many of the songs about Talmud Torah that are familiar to us are rooted in Kuf Yutes. Lulei Sarascha Shashuai, Az Avadati Be'ani. Were it not for your Torah, which is a source of enjoyment, a source of perhaps even of play for me, Az Avadati Be'ani, I would have been lost. So the measure says, what does that mean? Were it not for your Torah, I would have been lost in my Oni. Amru Yisrael. Ilulei Tarascha Shahayisa Imi, Klal Yisrael are saying to Ribbono Shel, were it not for the presence of Torah in my life, Vihisha Ashuai, it's something that I derive enjoyment from, Az Avadati Be'ani, I would have been lost. V'chei Moshe Omer, Brov Sarapai B'Kirbi, Tanchumecha Yishashu Nafshi, a pasuk that's hopefully familiar to us from the end of Tehillim once a week. La'olam lo ashkach pikudecha, Kivam Chisani, the Psukim continue, Echaim li Yisrael. Ilulehi lo hayachai. That the Torah is a source of life for us. Without it, lo hayachaim, we would not have life. Vechainu omer kihi chayecha, or as we say in the Dava, as we paraphrase Davin, kihim chayenu arech yameinu, kihi chayecha, ki motzai motzachai, those who find Torah find life, etc., etc. We look at that, and we would say, a medrash. Okay, what's the medrash saying? Torah is very important. Torah is valuable. It's our life. We build our lives around Torah, hopefully. We strive to do that. Rav Volba says, let's look at that carefully. Let's unpack this a little bit. Torah is not a kashar miktos. So the first idea that strikes us is that Torah is not like other disciplines we might study. Different people choose different fields. One might be taken by mathematics, one might be taken by engineering, another one might be want to be an attorney, another one might be an accountant or a chemist. You might want to go into sales or marketing or finance, you want to be a locksmith, you want to be a blacksmith. I want to be an Indian chief. You know, different people are interested in different fields of study and different occupations. But I have one Talmud who wants to get a PhD in children's literature. That was a passing phase. I have another Talmud, this is not a passing phase, wants to get a PhD in early American history. Different people have interests in different areas. The Torah, ilu lehi lo ha'echaim. So the first thing that strikes us in thinking about this measure seriously is no one's mechuyev to be a historian, no one's mechuyev to be a doctor, and no one's mechuyev to be an attorney, no one's mechuyev to be a blacksmith. You could choose what you want, I'll choose what I want, but when it comes to Torah, that's not the way it is. When it comes to Torah, Torah is universal. Every Jew needs a connection to Torah. So, but let's think about that some more. You know what that means practically? That's nice in theory. You know what that means practically? Tzirei Yisrael shezachu l'ilmod Torah. If you're a young Jew, or young at heart, and you have this chus to learn, I have the privilege, the opportunity to learn Torah. Ein lehem lahashtis es limudam al chishkom b'Torah. Don't make the mistake of learning because it's exciting, or learning because it's fun. Or to be more precise, don't make the mistake of the sequences of building that as your foundation. The foundation can be, I'm pumped, I'm on fire, Torah's Bishra. That's a pretty counterintuitive thing to say. You have to get a mashkiach and say, Torah's Bishra, of course you're showing Torah. He says, let's be mature about this. What the Medrash is saying is it's not a question of I want. Hechreach HaTorah. It's a recognition that I need. B'doros kedumim yodako lihudi ki ilu lehi lo ha'yachai. There has been an understanding that it's not just I'm excited about learning, which I certainly ought to be, but it's necessary. My life won't be a Jewish life. It won't be a substantive life without learning. B'chulam lomdu. B'doreinu anu. We're at a point in Jewish history. The same as Bar Yodim Echiv Hefreich Liman Torah. Many, many, many Jews are learning at a high level. The percentage of Jews learning at a high level for an extended period of time is probably far higher than it's been in most points in Jewish history. But the percentage of Jews overall, and to the entire Jewish population, who recognize the need to learn, that definitely is lower than it's been. So, but you have to realize, if you're going to dedicate significant amounts of time to learning, that's going to become a central part of your life. Hu hamisamelas am Yisrael ha'amiti. So you're really seizing, embracing the essence of Klal Yisrael. Al yachshov ki ubachar beit sefer miktzoi l'Torah. Can't look at it as like, you know, this is my specialty. He's in law, and he's in medicine, and I'm in Torah. Number one, that's incorrect, because Torah needs to be universal, regardless of what I do for a living. Torah is not for the guys who plan to do it professionally. If you don't hold like the Rambam, and you hold like Rov Rishonim, that's okay. We can be makel to professionally teach Torah to make money off of that. Beautiful. But whatever you plan to do professionally, Torah cuts across the board. But there are two threads going on here. One is a recognition of sort of an idea that we have thought about in the past, and then there's a corollary. The idea we have thought about in the past is that Torah is essential for every Jew. It's going to be the part of Torah, the degree of depth, the degree of analysis may depend on what my bent of mind is and what my intellectual capabilities are. But Torah is broad and big, and every Jew can find his part in Torah, and Torah is for everyone regardless of what I do professionally. So that's idea number one. And Kihem Chayinu Ve'er Chemeinu, it strikes us that's what Kihem Chayinu Ve'er Chemeinu means. We say it every day in Davin. But Revelba is saying, but if you think about it carefully, there's another angle here. To say that Torah is necessary, not just that it's universally necessary, but necessary means you might be excited, you might not be excited. If you're excited, that's amazing. And you ought to be excited. There's a famous vart from the Sachet Shavu, the Abnei Nezer. Those who are involved in Svar HaMakdash might say the father of Shem Shmuel. When Shem Shmuel quotes his father, he's talking about Rav Remel of Sachet Shavu, the son-in-law of the Katzker. I think other times I've told you Katzker and Meissen, between him and the Katzker, is a brilliant, 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 brilliant man. Avenezer, brilliant in halacha, brilliant in machshava, in chassidus. So in one of his, as far as I know, he did not write any sifrei chassidus or any sifrei machshava of any type. He's quoted, his son quotes him in Shem Shmuel, but he has a very famous introduction to his sefer Eglei Tal. Avenezer is famous particularly for two svarim. Avenezer has tshuvas on Kol Tarkula, and Eglei Tal is a sefer on Hilchos Shabbos, specifically on the first 11 melachos. Seems like he had intended Tal is Lamates Melachos. Seems like he intended to make it all the way through. He never got farther than in the first 11. Or at least we don't have more than the first 11. So nowadays, when they reprinted the Eglei Tal, they took material from the Tshuvas and built sort of like a faux Eglei Tal on the rest of the Melachos. But be that as it may, introduction, he says the following. He says, you know, sometimes people think, and it's clear that he means sometimes non-Hasidim think, that if you enjoy learning, that's a problem. It's not lishma. You're learning because it's geschmack. So sometimes people think there would be more lishma if you didn't enjoy the learning, you did it anyways. And Eglei Tal says that is absurd. And he goes on to demonstrate from Chazal that that is absolutely absurd. That the greatest lishma, he believes, is when you're is the reverse. If a person gets joy from the learning, he says, not only does it not take away from lishma, that's a greater lishma. At some point, that Rav Avraham Minahar, one of the obscure Rishonim in the Dharm, seems to formulate the same idea. So it's certainly true that learning, if Torah is geshmak, that's amazing. But Rav Volpe says, but it can't only, you can't only learn when it's geshmak. Rabbi Yissi Kamenetsky once told me that he heard, I think, from Rav Aaron Lichtenstein, Gemara in Tainus, Daf Zayin or so, points out that in Tanakh, if you look for beverages which are used as metaphors for Torah, the Gemara collects three. As a matter of fact, I think they all appear in a single passage in Yeshayahu, maybe. Water, wine, and milk. Gemara says, Torah is nimshala legimel mashkin. Torah is compared to three drinks. So Gemara puts together the psukim. Okay, water, wine, and milk. So you look at that Gemara, you wonder, like, what does it mean? Where is Chazal driving at? They weren't writing an almanac. Okay, so anyways, if you look through Tanakh, you'll find these three, but like, what's the point? But Kamenetsky told me that Rav Aaron had said, the Gemara is trying to build a structure here and a way of thinking. Water is a necessity for people to live. Milk is a necessity for infants. Wine is just the opposite. You can live a perfectly healthy life without wine, and some cardiologists believe that wine is good for your cholesterol levels, but you can live a perfectly healthy life without wine. Wine is a symbol of luxury. Wine is a symbol of not just doing what you need to do, but enjoying life. So the Gemara is saying, Torah is the water and milk of our lives, and it's also the wine of our lives. Torah could be the greatest luxury. It could be the greatest pleasure. At the same time, it's not only a luxury. Luxury is optional. Torah is not. That's what Rabbi Kiva says to the papas, or the fox and the fish. And a Jew without Torah is a fish out of water. So at the same time that it's a great pleasure, it's also a necessity. And Rav Volpe points out what that means is that I can't build my entire drive to learn on it's exciting, it's fun, I enjoy it, it tickles me intellectually, it tickles me emotionally. That's amazing. But that can't be, that ought to be in place. Hopefully it is in place, the cheshek for learning. But it can't be built on excitement. Because, as he says, excitement comes and goes. What does it matter? Rabbi, what do you care? If I'm going to learn because I'm pumped, learn because I'm pumped. All that matters is I'm learning, right? Wrong. That's a very short-term perspective, says Rav Volpe. He says, Im lomdim mitzad hachreach, if I understand that this is necessary for me, I need to do this. It's a key part of my spiritual nutrition. I need to build myself as a person. I need to build myself as a Jew. My neshama needs this. This is the water. This is basics. So, im lomdim mitzad hachreach, if I learn out of a recognition of necessity,
If I'm having a slow day, I'm not going to pug. I'll go on the wrong side of the bed. I'm having a slow day, a slow week, a slow month. I'm not feeling it. I'm not so pumped. Ain't no sooner written, we shall eat. Okay, I don't feel so pumped, but I still got to do it. Some days you might be excited to go eat lunch. And lunch is a bad example. Some days you might be excited to go eat supper. Some days you're not so excited to go eat supper. But you're going to eat supper. Because L'maisa, you got to eat supper. So hopefully you're excited about it. Okay. Some days, you know, if you're out camping, so it could be that sometimes you were in more comfortable places to sleep, and sometimes you found yourself in less comfortable places to sleep. You didn't have a pad under your sleeping bag, and it was a rocky campsite. And it's not, you know, okay. But lemaisa, whether you know the sleeping bag wasn't warm enough, you're a little chilly. So sometimes you're more excited, go to sleep, less excited. But lemaisa, you're going to go to sleep because you need sleep. Obviously, if you can enjoy the sleep, matov manam. If you can enjoy the supper, matov manam. But I need this. I'm going to drink the water. If I'm thirsty and I'm hiking, I'm going to drink the water even though it's warm and not so, you know, it's not the same as an ice-cold glass of water. Okay, it's warm, but it's wet, and I need it. So if I could have cold water, matov manam. But if I don't want to dehydrate, I'm going to drink the water whether it's cold, lukewarm, or hot. So I need to recognize that in terms of my spiritual nutrition, this is key. Tochakar ki hechreyachu, says, I need to understand that this is a profound part of what I need. He says, recognize that excitement is an emotional reality. Emotional realities sometimes go awry. Small things can sometimes set an emotional reality awry. Like appetite for food. It's not exactly the same, but you know, the different things could throw off your appetite. Someone says something gruesome at the table. Right? So not everyone reacts to that, but sometimes someone says something gruesome, someone's, you know, starts describing in great detail a shechita that they went to last week. Right? And we're serving fleishiks. So some people couldn't care less, and other people all of a sudden lose their appetite for, you know, the chicken on the grilled chicken on their plate that had looked so appealing a minute ago suddenly lost a lot of its pizzazz. Okay, sometimes small things can throw, it's an emotion, and that's the way it goes. And, or you're feeling stressed, and all of a sudden, the supper that you love, just you're so stressed, you're so farblunged, you're so distracted, it's not doing it for you. If you're only eating because it's exciting, then when you're stressed, you're not going to eat. And that some people do that. Some people have a hard time eating and don't eat well when they're stressed, and then it only makes things worse. Because then you're also, not only you're stressed about whatever else is going on in your life, now you're also operating with insufficient nutrition. He says, you have to realize, it can't only be about appetite. Appetite is great. To have appetite for food is a great pleasure. To have appetite to learn Torah out of appetite is a wonderful pleasure. But I can't only learn because of appetite. But he says, but don't worry. I am not an Avnei Nezer man. I'm not arguing that your learning should be insipid and blah, and just get used to a life of gray, banal nothingness locked in the base marriage. He says, no. That's not the picture I'm painting. Cheshek bar malimud. He said, Cheshek is absolutely a critical part of this dynamic. It's just that the causal connection, the causal arrow, points in the other direction. Learning will breed cheshek, even more than cheshek will breed learning. Sometimes, it's certainly true, I think many of us, maybe all of us, have had the experience of an initial excitement can get me in the door to try out learning, and then I try it more and more and more, and I'm taken by it. It's certainly true that as an initial catalyst, for many people, there's an initial cheshek. There was an exciting opportunity, an exciting experience, an exciting summer, an exciting Rebbe, an exciting sugya that grabbed me. But that's not real cheshek. That's very nice. I don't mean to take away from it at all. But there's far more profound satisfaction to be had than just that. And profound satisfaction, long-lasting satisfaction, will come from the learning, will come from learning. A touch a spark, a pop of cheshek can get me in the door. But that's great, and that was already amazing. And there's far deeper, even more lasting, even more profound cheshek to be had that will come in time. Like almost anything truly, like anything truly valuable in life, enjoying learning requires real investment. The really valuable things in life invariably require real investment of time, of heart, of work, and then you accomplish real things. Whether it's a relationship with another person, whether a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or a relationship with Talmud Torah, of course, that's the way life works. You invest yourself really. Consistent, sustained effort will build real, serious, substantial things. HaKheshek ba malimud, the deeper, even more satisfying enjoyment will come from learning. This week's parsha, right? Akash Baruch Hu says, this is where Akash Baruch Hu is laying out for Klal Yisrael a vision that we can have a relationship. We can have a bris, you and I, Akash Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael. And you could be the Am Segula. This is transformative. This is revolutionary, Akash Baruch Hu says to Klal Yisrael. Kili Haaretz. World is mine. I have everything to offer you, Kadosh Baruch Hu says to us. So Rashi says, Im ata tekablu aleichem, if you're ready to commit, Im shamo tishmu bikoli, then yerev lachem mikan al haba. Then things will be sweet in the future. Shekol haschalos kashos. That's a phrase I'm sure you've heard. That's a Rashi's expression. Kol haschalos kashos. Getting started is always rough. Transitions are difficult. Adjustments are hard. That's a truism and part of the human condition. Starting something new is often the roughest part. That making that adjustment, he says, the Kabbalah me'ata is the Kabbalah sahechreach l'limin haTorah, recognizing that Torah is not only pleasure, which it certainly is. But I don't always taste the pleasure in learning. There'll be times when I do, and there'll be times that I don't. And it's fine to be honest about that. It's true. Part of being a human being. As he said, pleasure is an emotional reality. Emotional realities get knocked off kilter by all sorts of things. It's not a chisar in the Torah. The fact that I don't always enjoy is not a chisar in the Torah. And it's also not a chisar in me. That's fine. That's the nature of life. He says, that's great. And it doesn't mean that the cheshek is not going to come back. Sometimes things come and go. Okay. It got the wrong side of the bed. That's fine. He says, but the key to developing, ironically, the key to plugging into great cheshek and learning is the ability to learn without cheshek. Because great cheshek and learning, even far greater sense of satisfaction than you have already had in your lives thus far from learning, will come through consistent learning. And consistent learning, that's the rub, that's the irony. Consistency in your learning will require the ability to learn without teshu. Kind of said, this is what I need to get done. And this when you think about the things, I'll close with this for now. When you think about the things that school teaches you, not subjects that you learn in school, but the process of schooling teaches you different things also. Some of them are good life lessons, and some of them are life lessons that don't have as broad applicability to natural situations outside of school. But one of the things that school teaches you, and all kidding aside, and one of the skills hopefully you develop, I know that many, many of you have developed, is the ability to work hard at a project, to take on achrayus. If I'm achrayus for a job, I need to see it through, even if I'm not excited about that. That life skill is an incredibly important life skill in any sort of responsible position you'll have in your life as a member of a family, as a spouse, as a parent, as an employee, and the ability to know your dream job will still involve parts that you will not find a dream job that you enjoy every single part of it every single day of your tenure. In any situation, which is a good, happy, positive situation, there'll always be pieces that you need to get done that aren't as exciting, and the stick-to-itiveness, the ability to to do even the parts that don't excite you as much, even on the days you're not as excited, absolutely critical. That ability for consistency, consistent output, consistent effort on your part, even when your feelings of satisfaction and excitement are inconsistent. That's key. And he says it's key, it's clearly key at work, it's clearly key as a parent, as a spouse, as a sibling, and as a child also. And he says it's key in the Beis Medrash. Because it's a part of reality, that there will be days that you're more excited, there will be days you're less excited. And I need to be able to make sure that the consistency of my output and consistency of my effort doesn't depend on how I'm feeling today. And, as I said before, the irony is that to the extent that I can do that, in time, it will go the other way, and the consistent effort will generate, in the long run, more consistent cheshek. Because the great cheshek, the small cheshek you've already tasted, the great cheshek comes from great and consistent effort. He's going to continue to talk. We already had, Baruch Hashem, one very counterintuitive idea. I think a very important idea. Not to base one's learning on cheshek, to enjoy cheshek and to seek it, but it may be part of the goal, but it cannot be the key basis of the foundation. He has more in store for us over the course of this parak. He's going to talk about the role of imagination. He's going to talk about the role of a chavrusa. What makes a good chavrusa? What's not necessary for a good chavrusa? What is necessary for a good chavrusa? Talk about the Ian and Bekias. There's a lot of very thoughtful things to say. We will, Mr. Tam, pick up with this tomorrow.